Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 29th of December. I am your host, Paul White. Today, tomorrow, we continue our work in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll finish verses 10 and 11 today and tomorrow. And then on the 31st, we have the essay edition coming up, sort of a decade in review, things that have happened in our past that have affected our present that are most certainly affecting our future. We'll dig into that. I'm excited about presenting that to you and then getting started into the new year. My goal is to work verse 10 today, 10, 11, and maybe introduce the thought of 12, because there's a real transition of thought in verse 12. Although we've been talking about a buried and resurrected Jesus, that's peripheral in this moment because Paul has deviated a little bit to try to establish himself as an apostle. One thing we must ask ourselves is, why is he working so hard to do that? And I think the answer might be that he is about to lay out a theology of resurrection that is quite controversial even in his own day. The ethic of the first generation of Christians, those whom I've heard called Alpha Christians, those who are the first ones who knew Christ, who met Christ, who touched Christ, their message seems to revolve around the kingdom on the earth and living out the principles that Jesus taught. Paul, you might consider a beta Christian, though he seems to be arguing that he's Alpha. He was in there. I'm just born out of due time. But he does know that he didn't walk with Jesus as these others did. And that gives him, in some ways, I think, a bit of an inferiority complex. It probably shouldn't, but it does. It seems to. And he works hard to sort of establish himself as someone who has the right to say what he's saying. However, his concept of Jesus is more post-resurrection Jesus. It's the reality of Christ in us. I think, personally, the reason the Holy Spirit raises Paul up is because those who walked with Jesus are a little bit trapped in the ethic of Jesus. They're a little bit trapped in the Jesus taught us great things and how to live, and we ought to go spread that. Paul, I think, is raised up by the Holy Spirit to advance that message into Jesus really lives in us. And to do that, Paul had to emphasize the resurrection. And emphasizing the resurrection is controversial because half of Judaism is torn on that subject while Jesus is on the earth. Remember, there's a big argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees as to whether resurrection is a reality. And I don't mean to indicate that Peter, James, and John doubted the resurrection, but there's no evidence it had completely penetrated their theology. Even by the middle of the book of Acts, this reality of a risen Jesus, they believed he had raised from the dead, but they didn't know what to do with that. Paul's theology was he disappeared so that he could reappear in our hearts. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul called it the great mystery, which has been shut up from the beginning, but now revealed unto us through the Gentiles. And Paul's the one who gets that. He really does something with the resurrection. So to introduce a passage on the resurrection, it's as if Paul feels he needs to up his credentials. He needs to up his resume. He needs to let you know that he belongs. Because to throw out this theology of resurrection is risky. I think maybe in Peter's epistle, when he says that to listen to and take heed to the things said by our brother Paul. Well, let me just read that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. So Peter tells you, listen to what Paul has to say, even though some of it's hard to understand. What might he be talking about? I used to say what Peter meant was Paul, he's talking about Paul's message of grace. I don't know. I don't think that's it. Peter is the one. Peter had a revelation of grace in Acts 10 at the house of Cornelius. He didn't need Paul to give him that. I think the ever-present reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory, is what Peter wrestles with. The same way I think a lot of the other early church does. But to establish the ever-present reality of a resurrected Jesus, you have to really hone in on the resurrection. And to do that, I think he thinks he needs a systematic apologetics defense of the doctrine of resurrection. And I think it could be a little, and I'm honestly working this one out even as I say it. And as I say it, let me flip over there and take a look. Yeah, I think it could be a little bit of the response of the Hebrews 6:2 argument. Part of that, what we should move on past. One of the things we're supposed to move on from, doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. It's as if the author of Hebrews is tired of the argument and says, let's move on from the argument of resurrection from the dead. What we've done is sort of interpolated our thoughts into that and said, well, we should be so convinced of the resurrection that's elementary. But I don't know that that's the argument. The author of Hebrews could be saying, this isn't worth fighting over. Again, I'm not insinuating they didn't believe in the resurrection. I just think that they didn't have it as the theology, the full-rounded theology that Paul works it out to be. It's Paul's greatest contribution to me to the New Covenant. So that's sort of the introductory thought as to why is he working so hard to establish the thought that he is an apostle born out of due time. It's a great thought to have. Verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And that is an interesting statement. We would not like that if a guy came into our church today and said, hey, you know so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so that you guys all like? I outwork all of them by God's grace. We would go, good grief, have a little humility. There's more than once where Paul makes statements that on the surface seem a bit cocky. I call them pretentious. He kind of thinks a lot of himself. But if you just take that as human, take that as his humanity, and realize that there's still truth behind the statement that greater labor comes out of grace than it does out of effort. And I think that's the point. Out of the grace of God has come this effort. Paul might be contrasting it with those who saw Jesus and, of course, work hard because they saw him. Paul goes, I didn't see him, but I still outwork them, but that's grace. So even if we move past the sort of pretentious sound of Paul bragging about outworking Peter, can you imagine? even if you move past that, you still have a truth there of more is produced from grace than is not. All right, I'll round this out, finishing up 10 and 11 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.